America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Well, it is a Celtics Wednesday, and every Wednesday we find ourselves blessed on this program with a little insider knowledge from Mego. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I think I'm 95% Sauvignon Blanc right now. Okay. Leftover from last night.
I feel like we need to ask everybody how they're doing emotionally today.
I'm good. Yeah, right. You know, it's a free and fair election, and the people have spoken. Okay. You can't argue with the people.
Nope. Ken is.
You can, but it makes you a jerk. So.
Ken is turning his office into a crying room. So.
Oh, really? It's a therapy coping corner over there?
His blackout shades on.
No, it's crying when he arrives in it.
Well, it's tears of sadness or happiness.
Yeah, that's correct. There you go.
Depending on what side you fell on.
Are those happy tissues?
It's America. We have an election every 4 years.
I would not want to be in a room with Curtis and Ken today.
Oh, like, we together. Will. I can't
if
wait.
If I was just sitting in between them, I would find today to be a very awkward one.
I think a lot of people's Thanksgivings just got a lot more interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is that Steve Kerr arrives in the city this evening. And I assume that Jason Tatum has had this one circled on the schedule for a while.
I would think so. The Steve Kerr presence, again, it's going to be interesting from a couple different angles because both he and Steph Curry are more of the outspoken political kind of. They're just politically outspoken, even more so. The NBA is probably the most politically outspoken professional league out of the Big Four, and those are two of the most politically outspoken people in the league, and they're both going to be in the house tonight. So I'm going to go over there early because I'm sure he's going to have something to say before the game about the election results, and that'll be an interesting little wrinkle. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of love lost for Jason Tatum and Steve Kerr.
I hope Jason Tatum, after every shot that he's scores a bucket, is just ice grilling Steve Kerr, talking trash. I know he doesn't do it, but stay in his face.
Just give him a look. You don't need to say anything.
Yeah, just stare daggers, you know? I think that's Tatum's style.
The trash talking is, I would say dial it up.
Would you take the over 30.5 points for Tatum tonight?
I would. Yeah. I would. And I think you'll know pretty quick because the way that they have been using Tatum so far this year is he's playing the entire first quarter and he's been really hot to start these games in the first quarter. He's averaging 13.3 points per first quarter. It's pretty different than the way that he was starting games last year. So I think you'll get an idea right away of how he's feeling and what his production's going to be like.
First 3 minutes, Courtney. You better hit that on Tatum.
Are you like becoming a degenerate gambler?
I kind of am.
She's past that.
Like I'm really enjoying it.
She's in the parlay world. It's a little different. You're not really a degenerate in that world. It's like the lottery. You know, all you need is one to hit and you're in.
You're right. I never see degenerates picking up scratch tickets.
No. I'm talking about more of the Powerball Mega Millions.
It's the same thing.
No, I mean, not really, because Courtney's only doing a couple bucks on it, right?
$50 a month is all I will put into my addiction.
For now.
For now.
It's like a quick pick.
Yeah. for now.
Mego, so this morning we talked about Peyton Pritchard. 6 out of 8 games so far, he's had 15 plus points. I know you and I talked about it a little bit like before the season. You didn't think there was really much of a shot at that sixth man of the year. Now the odds on favorite at FanDuel. Do you think he can maintain this? Do you think he actually has a shot now?
I'm not sure, because I think it will depend a little bit on how they how and when they decide to bring Kristaps Porzingis back, because that'll change your rotation a lot. So part of Peyton Pritchard getting the opportunity to take as many threes as he's taking right now is because of the way that the rotation is working. I think they're still trying to figure out how they're patching up that big presence, which you would think shouldn't affect the guard in the rotation, but it does, because you're getting guys like Nemias Keita in there. You're trying to figure out if Xavier Tillman is going to play more minutes. I don't think he should, judging by the way he's looked so far. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Al Horford managing him. So it's very, very early. I don't know how, again, these futures bets work if you want to put some money down on that. I don't think it's the worst prediction in the world. I just think that it's not totally likely.
I love it. We changing his name. You know how everybody's like, White Mamba, no, White Cobra, because I love the way. You know, you've been on Pete Pritch from a while, but his confidence, the way he's like, he plays with a swag, and you could tell he's got a little bit of that in him by the way he talks and the way he carries himself. And like, when after a bucket, he's one that he ain't afraid to talk no ish. That's the White Cobra out there. When he bites, it's deadly.
He's not afraid to run downhill either. Like, he will chase down offensive boards. Right. He'll get to the rim. So it's not, we all love seeing him with the daggers from the 3-point line and the buzzer beaters that he embraces, but he does other stuff too. Right.
You have, with the luxury that you have of waiting on Porzingis, when do you think you end up seeing him? And is there a risk in waiting too long in getting him back involved?
The only risk, I think, in waiting too long with him would be his conditioning. But again, like, he's seemingly been pretty active through this portion of the season behind the scenes in terms of what he can do. So I don't really think that there's a downside to being, quote, overly cautious with him.
Yeah.
You don't need him right now. Like we said this, I think, last week. I really don't think that you need him for a lot of the teams that you're going up against. And the only benefit would be if, say, you're seeing like an OKC or somebody who you're not going to get to see very much of during the season, and getting an opportunity some point in the late winter, early spring to see how those matchups are going to work.
If he's healthy, play him. Play him as soon as possible. Because I want to know whether or not he can make it. I hold him out. Let's say you hold him out and then you find out he can't make it.
When you say he can't make it, you mean like he'll break?
No, like he gets hurt again.
But you always say regular season doesn't matter.
It doesn't, but in the case of Porzingis, I want to know if he can get through it and not get hurt. So I'd rather
I think we know who Kristaps Porzingis is as a player, we know that he's pretty fragile.
No, but the longer we wait, then he gets hurt closer to the playoffs, and now you're like, without him, I'd rather you play him early. If he does, now you could say, all right, we're probably going to be without him, and let's build our team that way, rather than wait until he comes back later on in the season, holding him off, and then let's say he plays a month and re-aggravates something or gets hurt again, and now right when the playoff starts, you're now trying to shuffle because you're no longer without Porzingis. At least now, if you play him and you go, you know, 2.5 months, then you feel pretty confident about, you know, him being able to at least make it through the long haul. I don't want to wait the last minute, because then it hits the team and now you got to kind of shuffle.
Right, but you also have these months right now. Like, he's definitely not going to be back before December.
No.
So you have these months of data right now of seeing what you can do without him right now.
Well, I'm saying as soon as December gets here, play him.
What about Jalen? Does this injury worry you? Like, a hip flexor strain is something that you can aggravate pretty easily.
Yeah. Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe had the report that he got 2 MRIs on that hip flexor. And that may seem more routine for like a professional athlete, but just that it's so close to the core makes me a little bit scared. Like, that level of injury just seems like the kind of thing that they should, again, be a little overly cautious with Jalen about. And I think they're indicating that they are, because he didn't play in Atlanta. That's his hometown. He loves playing in Atlanta, and he's not playing tonight. And it's clear that there's some personal stuff with Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum when it comes to Team USA, and Steve Kerr is a big part of that. So I look at that as they need to manage that pretty carefully, even though it's very early in the season, because that's something that you don't want to start barking on and off in the second half of the season as you're going into the playoffs.
Let me get to the important stuff. Who issued the code red on Perk?
I don't know. Are we sure that there was a code red issue?
I mean, there was some sort of a lifetime ban or a...
Like you ain't invited to the party.
I heard you guys talking about this earlier. It's not the first time that there's been bad feelings with a former player. There before it was with Ray Allen and Paul Pierce.
It also exists, I think,
and
with Grant Williams,
Kevin Garnett. Well, that one's I think it's the question is it between the current players and Perk? Is it the coach and Perk, if there's anything like that? Because when it was Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, that was a very personal thing about the guys that were on that team. And I don't think that that extended from like the organization towards Ray Allen. I think it was more about those guys having stuff that they eventually sorted out with Kevin Garnett's banner night. And that was great. Perk, his job on ESPN seems to be to go on and be incredibly critical of the Celtics because that's where he's relevant. And at sometimes he gets personal with that.
Right.
And I think that's where it crosses a line, whether there's a bad feelings from the organization or from the current team. I'm not sure. I read the same story that you guys did in the, what was it, the U.S. Sun?
Yeah.
Some of these organizations that get the Celtics reporting, I'm like, I don't even know what this is. Or what is this?
But they probably look at them the same way young guys look at any former player who played a long ago. They probably have no idea who he is, and they're probably like, this guy's like a dodo bird goofball.
Clips go around on social media, and they see that, and they go, what is this?
They're like, who's this guy? He played. It's not like his name is Kevin Garnett or his name is Paul Pierce. So you got these younger dudes that are playing going, oh, we know who this is, or Charles Barkley or Shaq. They're like, who's this guy here that's criticizing us? You know?
And I think it's a little strange because I think it was last year or the year before, I covered an event where Perk was talking and he was introducing his book, The Education of Kendrick Perkins, and he was having a whole local night in Boston. And it's a little bit of talking out of both sides of your mouth because he talks about how great his time in the Celtics organization was to the point when he got traded to OKC, there was such a worse culture, he said, there compared to the Celtics. And he's so much of like what he says that's relevant at times is so nice about the Celtics. But then during the season on these TV hits, he just gets personal. He gets personal against the coach. He gets personal about Jalen and Jason and their dynamic. And I think that just that's the risk that you take.
We had a caller this morning, though, that called and said that he basically just talks poorly about the Celtics for ratings, for like clickbait.
Well, I think that's what keeps him relevant.
Right.
And so, and look, we all work in media. Like, we understand there's controversy. You got to come at things with a strong opinion. You got to have your takes. But when it gets personal, when you're saying, like, you put Joe Mazzulla's brain in a bird and it flies backwards, which, by the way, is a line that he reused a couple times because he used it with Kyrie, too. So that's the other side. It's like, if you're going to be sharp, you better be coming up with new material every day.
But I think for him, that works because that's kind of who he is, right? He comes, like he's from Houston. He's from that area. He kind of, you know, tries to bring that type of swagger. He's not like a kind of a Richard Jefferson who's more of a, you know, or a Tim Legler who's just like basketball. Like, here's what we, there's what they, he wants to add a little spice and flavor to him, but that works for him. I look at it, and that's why I said it's more of, in today's world, if you weren't a dog when you played, and when I mean a dog, I mean like somebody everybody knew. When you criticize, it goes in one ear and out the other. It's one thing when Charles Barkley sits up there and criticizes.
Or Shaq.
Yeah, because they're like, he's one of the 50 greatest players ever. But when it's like...
So you're surprised that anybody is reacting to what Perk is
saying. Isn't that why? This is exactly what he wants. Like, if these guys are just like, it's Perk, and they move on, then nobody talks about him and it goes away. The fact that they take it personally, like, these guys don't have a relationship with Perk from playing with him.
Right, but it's difficult because a guy like Perk is going to get hit with those shots. Remember, Charles Barkley said, you want me to listen to a guy that averaged, you know, 2 points and 2 rebounds or something along those lines, or you seen, was it Wasn't it Kevin Durant who basically was like, he averaged the GPA? And something along those lines. So it's like, it's got to be hard.
See, that's a good line.
Well, it's got to be hard for a guy like him.
But you, listen, you cover this team. You cover this team for WEEI.com. You're in there. You're in the locker room. So I would ask you about Joel Embiid, who clearly did not like something that was written about him.
Again, we know what these lines are with media. And if you cross a line where you get so personal, I'm guessing the Joel Embiid story you're talking about is the confrontation he had with the Philadelphia Inquirer columnist.
Which he's been suspended 3 games for his reaction.
Which really runs even further contrary to what the columnist wanted, because his column was about criticizing how Joel Embiid never plays. And he got it further suspended.
Right.
So he further is not playing. But you talk about a player's family, a player's deceased family member and their son, and then compare that to their work ethic in the NBA. That's such a clear line to me, where it's very destructive for media members, not just in the NBA, in the NFL, who we want to be in the locker room. We want to engage with athletes in a respectful manner. And I think we're all there for the same goal of putting out good content and getting good stories. And that's just so destructive.
It did seem like he was trying to apologize to him in the locker room, though. Like, Marcus Hayes was in there trying to be like, all right, I crossed a line.
But I don't think he went in there to apologize. Well, I think he once he figured out how pissed he was.
Right, but then he was apologizing. Sorry.
He was
turtling
and apologizing.
Just because you apologize doesn't mean like, oh, well, my feelings aren't hurt anymore.
Or
you haven't disrespected me.
Right. Yeah, I think that the way in which people are taking this is that he was talking about his family members, where he wasn't really. He was just saying Joel Embiid has made such an emphasis on the fact that he wants to leave a legacy for his son, who his son was named after his deceased brother.
He basically said he was not living up to a legacy for his deceased brother.
He said to leave a legacy, you have to play.
So disrespectful.
That is obscene that he was suspended for 3 games for that. Like, the more I think of it, like, what the hell?
Because they have to make sure that nobody else does it. But I said this, and this is why I always said, like, if you're going to say things, you got to be ready for whatever consequences.
And he showed up. Like, credit to the columnist for showing up in person and being there, but...
But if Joel Embiid takes it to another level where he's not willing to hear your apology, or if it gets a little heated and then he tends to, you know, maybe push you, like, you got to be willing to deal with whatever comes with that, and that's the business that we're in. I mean, Courtney brought up me and Tuca, and I was like, well, Tuca leaving because he was soft. Like, if Tuca felt like a certain way, I would have to deal with whatever it comes my direction.
That's so different, because you're talking about the player and their approach to the game or the job. To me, that is so many steps behind, like, mentioning someone's family and a deceased family member and their kid.
Right.
Yeah. That to me is just nuts.
Also, if Tuca ever wanted to throw with you, you could borrow my glasses.
Yeah, but I'm not a thrower, though. I told you, I only got a little bit of gas left in the tank, and I'm not wasting
it. It's coming out the other end.
Whatever end it comes out.
Most of the time,
if I ever got to throw hands,
it's burrito season.
By the way, I'm surprised by how many people tell me when I say, who do you think is going to be there in the NFL end of January, how many people suggest your Commanders?
Mm. Wait, you're talking Super Bowl?
No, I'm talking playoffs.
Like, okay.
I'm talking people who look at, they are having a season, your football team.
Yeah. Why do you think that they wouldn't be in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, they...
Cowboys are totally disintegrated.
Yeah.
Like, you got Philly out there. They're a good team, but I feel very strongly about them. Jaden Daniels, you know.
Okay. Right. They're legit to make the NFC Championship.
Yeah.
I could see, because you say, all right, we talk to people and say Detroit's the best, they feel like it's the best team.
They're getting McCaffrey back,
they
though,
stink.
This week.
The Lions should roll over.
I think they're at least
the
a wild card team.
Who, the Niners?
No, Washington.
No, but I think when you look at it, they could potentially end up as the number 2 seed when you think about the NFC. I wouldn't be concerned about the Niners. I think it's Detroit, maybe the clear-cut favorite, and then Washington could beat Philly on any given Sunday. They could beat, who else is there? Minnesota. So I think that Washington easily be in the NFC Championship.
I don't know. Now you're talking me out of it. You're like mentioning all these teams that are so much better than Washington. Minnesota's good.
But
Detroit's
just Minnesota's
very good.
Sam Donald.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, guess what? The pumpkin Cinderella, the clock's going to hit midnight, and we're going to see Sam Donald that we've seen Sam Donald. So I don't. I don't think there's a team other than Detroit, if I'm a Washington Commanders fan, which I know you are, Mego, that would scare me.
Yeah. All right. Great to see you. And are you going to be there tonight?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Can you get Wiggy in the building? He's looking for tickets.
I'm always trying to get in the building. Do you go in the locker room, though? You now officially, like, on the beat in the locker room?
She's very official.
Wow.
She's like an insider.
All about.
Yeah.
All right. The inside, again, I don't think I've earned the insider title.
I'm giving it to you, whether you earned it or not. All right, Mego, thank you. It is a Celtics Wednesday. You can talk about the Celtics and tonight all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Bruins get shut out in Toronto 4-0. Swayman was in goal. He had 23 saves in the loss. The Bees fall to 6-7-1 on the season. And the Celtics are back in action tonight at home, welcoming Steve Kerr and the Warriors to town. Tip is at 7:30. Jaylen Brown out for this one. In Philly, the NBA has suspended Joel Embiid for 3 games without pay for shoving a columnist, Marcus Hayes, from the Philadelphia Inquirer in the locker room after the loss to the Grizzlies on Saturday. And it is now time to put someone in timeout.
You're in timeout. Let's find out who's getting a timeout this week. Brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. TimeoutMarket.com.
Curtis is itching on this one. Curtis, you can go first this morning.
Steve Kerr, you pathetic, holier-than-thou D-bag. I don't really give a damn about the, you know, the personal stakes of all these different elections, but the Steve Kerr Popovich, I know more than you do, you're a dink, I'm well-read, you're a moron. Well, you were wrong, you lost, and I hope you lose again tonight.
I'm going to put Greg Bedard in timeout because no one is going to come at my shimey. Oh, nobody can talk about my shimey except me.
You're the only
appreciate
one.
You, Courtney.
You're the only one who is allowed to fire shots, poop in the direction of shimey.
That is correct.
Nobody else.
Yep. There you go. Good job. Right. I'm going to put ESPN in timeout for neutering Jason Kelce and making him go out there and basically apologizing like somebody stole his puppy. I thought he should have stood on business. He was right for what he did. And the fact that they had it, they probably said, hey, Jason, can you go out there and, you know, apologize?
Well, I think I'm going to put the stylist for the First Lady in timeout. I don't know who chose to dress her in red last night, but that was a clear signal to voters, which was inappropriate. And
really?
I feel like that may have affected her party's opportunity when it came to winning that election.
Was it really her, though?
I mean,
weren't there reports now
there's body doubles?
That was Melania. People thought that was a body double. Because she's wearing sunglasses.
Maybe there is a Dr. Jill Biden body double. I never even thought of that.
Nowadays, I feel like the body double thing is big. People are talking about Usher and his performance. That there's a body double for him. Yeah, so you never know.
All right. Tom, you got anybody?
No, Courtney took mine. I appreciate her standing on business for me.
Okay.
Always. 10 toes down.
She's a foxhole gal.
Amen.
Always. That was brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's going to be a record-setting day here in Boston. Right now, 68 degrees, afternoon high, 77.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Tomorrow on this show, Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday at 9. And
brutal.
What do you mean? I think it'll be all hockey with Mike Milbury tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I think Mike Milbury is not going to hold back when it comes to this team.
Well, he's probably somebody who's happy this morning. You have people who are happy and people who are sad, and we should respect those feelings.
Can you be happy about an 0-for-6 power play, Greg?
I think Courtney's referring to something else.
Oh, no. I'm referring to the Bruins.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the election results.
No. I mean, I wasn't even thinking of that. That's very funny. I'm sure he'll be fired up tomorrow as well on all things America.
Speaking of that, I believe the Bland manager has entered the building this morning, Curtis.
He's going to be mad at me, but we got footage of him entering his office this morning.
Oh, it's a tough day for Ken today.
It's a tough day, but it's not my choice to do this. I think Mitch has it. I don't know if you have that, Mitch. We have Ken's arrival here this morning.
Ken arriving to work.
Oh, there he is.
I won't stand for that.
Oh, my goodness.
I won't stand for that.
Oh, he is angry. Holy cow.
Wow, he went all Hulk Hogan.
Take it easy.
Yes. He went all Hulk Hogan. I would just tell him this, Ken. Didn't like just like in the world of sports and politics. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Sometimes you win. Sometimes you take the L. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Got to get back out there and keep playing.
The white dude for Harris had a rough day.
Unfortunately for him, he can't even self-medicate and microdose himself.
No.
Because mushrooms are not legal here in Massachusetts.
Darn.
Just missed on that one.
I know.
But maybe that another go-round from Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not the
others.
End.
Yeah.
She'll
yeah.
keep fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you
I mean,
do?
It was a little absurd. I was talking about this with Breece Hill last night at dinner. A rare dinner out for me last night, Curtis.
Yep.
And
did you have 58 birthday parties in honor of turning 58?
Yes. Breece was suggesting that he thought it would be weird if he were allowed to legally purchase mushrooms in this state, but still could not purchase flavored Zin. And I was saying, yeah, that is a little bit off base.
But I don't think shrooms health wise don't have like the negative effects that
But the Zin's I don't know that the
I know
Zin's
and
really
I know I'm
either.
Never going to change you because you're 58 and you're in good health and you've been doing it forever. I worry about you.
Dipping?
Yeah, I would.
But it's like anything. Greg's an adult.
No,
whether
I know.
It's Zin.
I've made it to 58. I've dipped for a long, long time.
Whether it's
I
shrooms?
Feel like this is my concern. If I stopped, that would probably make something go wrong with me. Like
I have no idea. Don't dip. I don't smoke ciggies.
Well,
I'm not,
you dip, but it's French onion.
Yeah, that I do. But that also could kill you, too, if you dip too much.
That's
so it is what it is, man.
That is correct. All right. So tomorrow, Mike Milbury. Friday, we are at the American Heritage Museum for a Flex Friday show right ahead of Veterans Day weekend, and your chance to come out and say hello and say thank you to the men and women who have served this country who will be with us on Friday at the American Heritage Museum. And we hope to see you as well. And then we'll head off to Lunch with a Hero, our third annual Lunch with a Hero at the 110 Grill. This is Derek from Pepperell.
Here we go.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Greg. I just want to warn you guys, I'm bringing two really, really good guys, Billy Graves from Pepperell and Joe Markham. He's 75, Billy's 75, and Joe Markham, 73. Billy served in Vietnam, and they're just wonderful, wonderful guys from Pepperell. And Billy has ties to your favorite island, Courtney and Greg, of Nantucket.
Excellent.
And we're looking forward to seeing you guys all on Friday. And the ambassador is continuing to do his work as the ambassador of the Greg Hill Show.
Well, we appreciate it. And this event is really, honestly, like at the top of the list when it comes to my favorite and the favorite of this show. So I cannot wait for Friday.
Are you expecting some sort of ambassadorship yourself, given Trump's return to power?
I don't believe I am in line for anything
is
like
Scott
that.
Is Scott Brown going to go back to New Zealand?
I have no idea. Although I think Wiggy, based on the job requirements, would make a great ambassador.
for
any country. Like, I don't know. You could pick.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you'd probably pick something in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
Because
ooh, Jamaica.
It.
Yes. I'd go right to my brethren in the island of Jamaica. Wagwan, man.
Yeah. Or you
where
could
we
get
off. Smoke and live in the sun and the beaches and the water.
You could do, you'd have to, you could do your couple's YouTube show there.
Yes.
Right.
You could call it Spleefs and Couples.
Spleefs, man. Spleefs.
What about Spleefs and Spouses?
We could do that.
Yeah, that would be a good name for it.
Well, my dad was from the Caribbean, but I never knew him, but I found that out through my wife that he was from
Aruba. It's all the things you like to do. If you're an ambassador, basically you go over there and you throw parties.
I can
live in
that.
A huge mansion,
right,
usually.
Right. Right. You have dinner parties.
Okay.
Really everything's on the donut.
Yeah.
Like the lady that you got had the track star in Bermuda. Wasn't she ambassador?
Oh, yeah. The girl that hosted for an hour down there.
The Bermuda lady.
She did...
She
was
like
an Olympian,
yeah.
But
right.
She was more like working. She was a cultural minister.
Okay. Attaché.
Right.
Yes.
Greg, I actually have, I don't think it's a crazy thought. What if Robert Kraft was the ambassador to Israel?
Ooh.
All right.
Woody Johnson, with the last Trump presidency, was, I believe, the ambassador to the United Kingdom. The Rooney family under Obama was the father was the ambassador to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Robert Kraft has been as public in his support
go round. But they did donate to Trump's reelection campaign.
They did.
Yes.
Bill would make a great ambassador.
Would he be the ambassador to Croatia?
Yes, maybe he would.
He put the ass in ambassador, I'll tell you that.
But I'm with you.
The future Mrs. loves Croatia.
Yeah.
Good
what a
point.
Great spot! What a great spot for her to be an ambassador's wife, hosting all kinds of gatherings and
gets
and,
too cold out in Croatia for me.
Offering the hospitality, yeah. That'd be a great spot.
I want to be ambassador in a warm place all year long. Mm-hmm. So, any Caribbean island works. Mm-hmm. The Maldives, right? That seems like a great.
That would be actually pretty nice.
Bora Bora seems like another great place to be an ambassador for. Like those type of places. All day long.
Greg, let's do it, because what the hell? How would this show fit into a Trump cabinet? So I would say Secretary of State would be Courtney, front-facing.
Thank you.
Department of Energy would be Greg. Definitely.
Department of Low Energy? Yeah, okay, that's a good one.
Oh, man, I mean.
Shime could take that RFK role
and
readjust the food that Americans eat.
Yeah, I would say Jackson would be the designated survivor, no matter what. We need Jackson.
Yeah, not the designated driver. but
Curtis, clearly with my COD skills, I would have to be... What's the
Department of Defense?
Yes.
Yes.
I would be on for that job all day long.
I love it.
Curtis would be Secretary of Labor.
Oh, I'm a huge work guy. I mean, every day would be a blue-collar Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be... This is just... Isn't it wild? Like, it just happened, it's over, and now... it's also interesting, Greg.
Yes.
The people most outraged by the re-election of Trump have many reasons to be outraged. In the media, stand to gain the most. Mm-hmm. In other words, if it was 4 years of Kamala Harris, I don't think MSNBC's ratings would go up. When Trump's in office, they had ratings they had never seen before.
Right.
So in the end, it's kind of good for business for them.
We had been told there would be some sort of a concession speech this morning.
Yeah.
When is that happening?
There has not been an announcement on a time.
Probably come about noon.
Noon.
Yeah.
It was kind of late.
Well, what happens before an announcement would be calling to concede before you give a speech, and she has not contacted the Trump administration
Maybe they still feel like there's a little bit of hope.
Well, the AP's called it.
Are the ballots in?
I thought when it came to election results, they were to be accepted immediately.
Oh, I don't know.
Am I confused about that?
You're above my pay.
I've heard people say that.
Right. But I feel like there's always like a little bit of like, all the votes ain't in. We got to keep calculating.
It was official as of about 5:30 this morning.
Right.
I guess sooner or later
she'll come out and say, hey, you know.
She hasn't tweeted anything in 14 hours.
Thank you for your support.
Okay.
But, you know, we've seen this movie before. We've been here.
Uh-huh.
You know? You can win some, you lose some. It is what it is.
They're not even saying Wednesday morning anymore. They're saying Vice President Kamala Harris is expected to address the nation Wednesday.
Oof.
So
okay.
So they're not specifying morning anymore.
What's today?
I hope it's not when I'm watching Outer Banks.
No.
You're not finished yet?
No, I finished it. Okay, it was only five episodes.
I know.
Rewatching.
Easy lift.
I threw it quick. I mean, I will say that you got me addicted to
Lioness.
Lioness, and I am almost through the first season of that.
I told you, you got to jump on Tulsa King.
I've not heard you talk about Tulsa King once.
I've always talked about it. That's what Sylvester Stallone. Got to jump on Tulsa King.
Tulsa King. I've never even heard of that.
Well, that's because, Courtney, you got to expand your horizons.
But yeah, I don't. You've never given me that as a...
The last time you gave me a recommendation
and I took it, it was on some like obscure network that I had to pay, you know, per episode.
Courtney, well, Tulsa King is another Taylor Sheridan product. Yeah.
Oh. I gave you the recommendation from...
Greg is a Tulsi King.
Which is on the MGM network, I believe. It's kind of a little horror one, but you're not into that.
Yeah, that was the one that I watched.
Right.
Was that the vampire thing?
Well, yeah, it's like the creatures that I don't know if they're technically vampires. There's Tulsa King. I gave you the mayor of Kingstown.
Another Taylor Sheridan product.
With Jeremy Renner?
Nailed it.
Yep, nailed it.
So I gave you that one. There's some good ones out there.
Jones and Keefe coming up at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And a big Celtics game that you can talk about all day long here on Boston Sports Original. Another disturbing Bruins loss that you can talk about all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Jones and Keefe coming up next momentarily. In fact, Adam Jones is here, very upset that he will not be able to legally microdose during the show today.
I did vote against that.
You
don't have to tell your girl there, but I did. I voted against that.
That might be the parent in you.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe.
It could
be. The responsible person in you, I guess.
I'll tell you what. We have friends that live out. My wife went to University of Oregon. We have friends that live in Portland, and they're like, we legalized everything here. And we were all about it, and we kind of just turned Portland into a place to come do drugs. And I'm like, all right. Maybe that's not something we need to do here.
Yeah, like the people are not doing drugs here anyways. I mean, pick a corner anywhere, like in certain neighborhoods, whether it's...
No, but he's saying that people like travel to Portland.
The point that I'm making is like mushrooms, you know, they're like weed in my opinion.
Are they?
Ain't nobody nodding off in front of McDonald's like, can I get another mushroom?
I don't know. I feel like I've never taken them, but I feel like if I did, I might be nodding off.
Believe me, ain't no zombies walking around on mushrooms and weed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if there's a plate of stuffed mushrooms, I'm not off.
Yeah.
Real
nice.
I find them to be one of the better appetizers. Right. I know they're kind of old school, like Clam's Casino, but I love a good stuffed mushroom.
Not better than
Mushroom. Oh, I like those. I don't know if they're top five. Yeah. I don't know if you need to do an emergency top five on that, but I like those. Those are nice.
Did you watch any of the election coverage?
So we were talking about this down the hall. I forget, you know, it's only every 4 years. I forget how much I like election coverage. Like Keith said this, it's like a draft. Mm-hmm. It's like watching a draft, except I don't have to watch any commercials. I was flipping around between six networks last night. Uh-huh. You never have to watch a commercial if you don't want to, which is great. Yeah. The boards are very intriguing.
The boards are...
You have board anxiety.
Well, because if they go down, like, the network's screwed. But I think it's so...
Oh, you're worried for
the
television personality.
How in-depth they've gotten where, you know, you're clicking on the actual state and then it's breaking down the parts of the state, blue or red. I think it's very, very cool. And then it'll say, you know, we've gotten this part of the state in. We're still waiting on this part. This part is predominantly Democrat or Republican. I don't know.
I heard the John King circles lecture a lot of times, or he's like, hey, you know, there's a lot of these circles are outstanding. But I heard the circles a lot. I'm like, I get it. It's a new audience, but I get the circles. So no, I like
if
that.
If you
last
watch time. It a lot, like based on your opinion, like how much do states tend to flip over years? Like, you know what I mean? Like the color wise.
Well, there's been a bunch recently.
Back and forth? Is that something?
Well, 2016 to 2020, back to this election, like a bunch of that blue wall fell last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm asking the questions because you're the draft expert.
I'm not an expert, but no, they'll flip. I mean, right. Massachusetts won't.
Biggest takeaway.
Let's get to the green wall. Big Celtics game tonight.
Yes.
Grudge match of sorts between Jason Tatum and Steve Kerr should be pretty interesting.
Oh, it's going to be great. I love the idea. I heard you guys talking about this, and I know a lot of people feel this way. I love the idea that, like, Jason Tatum is going to do... He might play really well. Like, that is definitely in the range of outcomes. He probably will play really well. The idea that he's going to, like, stick it to Steve Kerr, he's too much of a wuss. He won't do that. Like, Jason Tatum will not mean mug Steve Kerr. He won't, there will be no gesturing. Like, he's too flatline. and he's too much.
Call that classy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, that's one way to say it. Yeah, yeah, it's classy if you want to call it that. It's taking the high road.
Yeah, that's
or it's wussy.
People, no, I think most people would call it the high road.
Okay. Yeah, I'd call it wussy. I think if there's a lot of Celtics fans who want to see him stick it to Kerr. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Well, then he's kind of being a, he's kind of being a wuss about
that's
it.
That's not who he is, though.
No, it's 100%. Well, that's what I'm saying. People who expect that out of him,
right.
That isn't who he is.
It's
he
not
won't do that tonight.
If he puts up 45 tonight, like that, that's fine for me. He doesn't need to say stuff with words or give him looks. Like if he puts a ton of points,
I want mean looks.
Okay.
I want Deuce throwing things at him.
Yes. Celtics fans are. They want him to be out for blood, and that's not him. There's no chance he does that. He's too scared.
No, he's too. Classy. Mm. Let's get it twisted. Mm. He put up a 50-piece one time with his hands, and people wanted to ring him up. Like, look at this guy showing off 50 points. Yeah, we all know, Jason, don't do that. Now you want him to be the guy who goes out there and puts a 50-burger in somebody's face.
I feel like my recollection of criticizing that, him putting up the 50, was it was like kind of a meaningless situation. That was more my recollection. Not chastising him for doing it. Just
I think there were a lot of people that were chastised.
I also feel like you were one of those guys who was whispering behind Shime's back when he was blaming that interception on Sunday on Kendrick Bourne. And
were you one of those?
I feel like that
it's a bad pick.
It's the all 22. Just go to it. The all 22 don't lie. One thing they'll tell you in the NFL, the eye in the sky never lies.
Yeah, I mean, Drake May blame the wind. People are blaming Kendrick Bourne for falling. Like, I love Drake May. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. But, like, we should be able to blame him when he throws the game-losing interception.
But that wasn't his fault. Mm. It's the receivers.
Would you say that for any other quarterback in the NFL?
I would say that for any quarterback.
I wouldn't.
As somebody who played the game and knows how...
He would say it for Cam Newton.
No, I would say it for anybody. Somebody who played the game and knows how important it is sometimes to be the decoy runner, route runner, a lot of goes into, you got to be, the speed goes into your decoy, making sure you're taking the right angle, because if you don't...
If a receiver fell down for Mac Jones and Mac Jones threw a pop-fly game-sealing interception like that, I would have ripped Mac Jones.
I would have blamed the receiver.
But it wasn't a pop-fly. It was a pop-fly.
It was not on a rope.
That is fair. If Mac threw that pick, you would never point out that Bourne fell.
Mac Jones would never be able to throw the ball that far in the first place.
that's definitely true.
Also, Cam Newton threw the ball in the turf and Wiggy blamed the turf.
I go to the all 22. Once we get the all 22 telestrator in here, we can actually start drawing it up. I don't know if that's in the budget, but when we do, we'll be able to really highlight these plays.
We need that and an election board.
Ken would get on that. He's currently in a trigger room that we've established here in the building.
Playing. I did just check on him. The lights were on.
Is he okay?
That's progress. The lights were on.
All right. Have a great show. We are back tomorrow morning. Thank you for your patronage.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.